You're listening to a podcast from Toronto Celebration Church in Toronto, Ontario. It's our hope through the Word of God that you're built up in faith and drawn closer to our Savior and Healer, Jesus Christ. As you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray the Holy Spirit will use this message powerfully in your life.
Yeah, why don't we stand together before we're seated for a few moments' time? Why don't we stand? Stretch out those limbs, look at your neighbor and tell them the sunshine is suiting you well. The sunshine suits you well. It does indeed. I know we walk by an internal compass of joy from the Lord, but nonetheless, I enjoy when the sunshine comes out in the natural. How many enjoy that? I know I do. Get outside and stretch your limbs and all that type of stuff rather than inside, so it's good. But it's also good to be together here this morning. I'm going to open with a word of prayer, and you know, I'll lift my hands, and you can do that if you want to. You can put your hands down at your feet if you want to. It has nothing to do with you receiving from the Lord. I'm ready to receive from you, Lord. So let's do that right now. Lord, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. We thank you for all that you've done throughout our lives, how you've been faithful to us time and time again. When we face roadblocks or situations, we didn't know the way forward, but Father, you came through. So we remind ourselves of that. We thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we thank you that even here in these moments we have together this morning, Lord, that you're speaking to every individual. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are every one of our guides, that you guide us in the way we should go, in wisdom and in healing and in inspiration, Lord, and in strength and all that we need. And so I thank you that you are very practically involved in every individual's life this morning. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Why don't we give him a big shout of praise here this morning? Amen. All right. You may be seated. You may be seated. Great to see you. Thank you, singers, musicians. Thank you. We'll have them back here. By the way, this afternoon, 1 o'clock, we'll be teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we've been doing leading up to Pentecost. This afternoon, I'll be teaching on 10 myths of the Holy Spirit, 10 myths exposed, you could say, and then, of course, the truth that combats that myth of the Holy Spirit. That, you know, those myths can sometimes keep us from operating in what the Lord has for us, and in particularly in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so that's going to be this afternoon at 1 o'clock. And a lot happens between our services. And I'm just sharing as people are getting situated and seated. We have Cafe Andrew between service, where you get lunch and a small group Bible study. Today we're launching the marriage course, and that's happening in our Peter Younger and Gospel Library. And so a lot happens. I know a lot of our teams are meeting between services as well. If you're new with us today and you say, well, I don't know where to go for cafe, I don't know where to go for marriage course, just ask our welcome center on the way out where you get your gift, and someone will be happy to direct you there to the place where you wish to go. This morning, my message is good success. And last Sunday, we were talking about the Lord, the nature of God, how he is at one hand, he is transcendent, he's above, he's beyond, it speaks of his ability. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, he's able. But on the other hand, he's imminent. In other words, he's near, he's close, and he's willing to help. He's willing to be an ever-present help in time of need. And we saw that how his imminence speaks of how his presence is with us always. How many know God? The scripture tells us that we in him, in God, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. In other words, God is everywhere. He holds all things together, and yet it's an awareness, it's a spiritual awareness where we become aware that he is with me. Remember that from last Sunday? We become aware, and living with that awareness, living with that consciousness that God is with us, he's made himself available to us, his wisdom and his power. We left off with David, and the scripture said of him in 1 Samuel 18, it said that God was with David, and it made him a success. God was with David, and he became a success. And we pick that up today, this attitude, this concept of success in our lives. God was with David, or you could say David, of course, again, as we saw it, God is with us all. He's everywhere. He holds all things together. So you could say David was conscious that God was with him, and as a result, David was a success. And so today we're looking at three keys to good success from the story of Abraham and his servant who found success in that which he was assigned to do. So we're going to start by reading 15 scriptures, and I share these 15 scriptures. We're going to read them off the top when our brains are fresh and we can focus on them. So you ready for them? They'll be on screen. You can follow along with me. Say, I'm ready. All right, here we go. It's 15. I know it's a lot, but then this is the last time I'll read the 15 in sequence this morning. So just hang on to your seats. Are you ready? Verse 1, Abraham was old, having seen. Go ahead and put it up. You follow along with me. Abraham was old. Do we have those ready? Go ahead and put it up because I want you to make sure you can open up your Bible. You can do it. There we go. Abraham was old, having seen many days, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. In verse 2, Abraham said to the senior, go ahead and put up verse 2. We got a lot of verses we got to get through today. Abraham said to the servant in his household who had charge of all his possessions, put your hand under my thigh. Verse 3, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live, but that you will go to my own land, to my relatives, to get a wife for my son Isaac. Verse 5, the servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to follow me to this land? Should I then take your son back to the land from which you came? And Abraham told him, never, go ahead and put it up. Verse 6, never take my son back there for any reason. Verse 7, the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and the land of my relatives, and who confirmed by oath the promise that he made to me, I'll give this land to your descendants. He will send his angels before you, and he'll give you a wife for my son there. And verse 8, if the woman is unwilling to follow you, you will be released from this oath to me. But never take my son back there, Abraham says. And verse 9, so the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master, Abraham, and he swore to him concerning this matter. In verse 10, the servant then took 10 of his master's camels, and bearing all kinds of gifts from his master, he made his way to the city of Nahor in Aram, Naharim. In verse 11, nearing evening, at the time when the women go out to draw water, he made the camels kneel by the well outside the city. In verse 12, then he said, Lord God of my master Abraham, let it turn out favorably, or make it me successful today, and thus deal graciously with my master Abraham. Verse 13, while he was sitting at the spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. Verse 14, if I say to a young woman, if I say to a young woman, please lower down your jug that I might drink. And she answers, drink and I will water your camels too. Then she is the one whom you've decided upon for your servant Isaac. And in this way, I will know that you've dealt graciously with my master. In the last verse, it says, and he scarcely had finished speaking when Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's son Nahor, came out with a jug on her shoulder. Three keys, three truths to good success. Number one, we learn from this servant. And number one, the servant accepted his assignment. Abraham said to the servant, I want you to go find a wife for my son. And the servant, he accepted his assignment. And so we can say that our success, that his success was connected to his assignment. His assignment was get a servant. Verse 4, what we saw it. Verse 4, Abraham said, go to my own land and to my relatives and get a wife for Isaac. And he found success connected to his assignment. Why do I say that? Well, today there's arguments when we talk about success. In the Christian world, some say, well, God wants us to succeed materially, succeed in finances, succeed in wealth, succeed in business, to succeed. And some would say that. And for some, that becomes their whole focus. On the other hand, others argue, well, no, money and success, they lead to greed, they lead to pride, they lead to arrogance, they destroy life. And they would say, no, success means, it means spiritual success. Success in the gifts of the Spirit, success in love, success walking in peace. That's the success that God wants us to walk in. Some would say that as well. And yet when we begin to look at how the God portrays success, of course, one could never argue that success comes in spiritual matters. That is the root and foundation of new birth in Christ. But at the same time, and yes, I would say that if success alone is our focus, in other words, money and material blessings, if that alone is my focus, it can, yes. The scripture says the love of money is the root of evil. In other words, if all my pursuit is money, 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 and yeah, that can lead to destruction. That can lead to negative results. And yet what we see from this story is that when our success is tied to our assignment, it protects us from those attributes that might turn us aside, that might draw us away from the Lord, that might shipwreck our lives. But in the life of the servant, that his success was connected to his assignment. And when our success in life is connected to our assignment, it makes us safe to succeed. And that's why I propose and I pray, and we say it all the time, but we believe God for your finances here at Celebration Church, that you succeed financially. Because when we begin to see our success or see our money as a tool for the assignment, and overall, overarchingly, we looked at that 2 weeks ago, how Jesus called us to occupy or to expand his kingdom, the Great Commission, until he comes. When we see our success as a tool for our assignment that God has called us to, we can believe safely for great success in our lives. Yes, spiritually, but also in physical, material matters. When we see that my success is a tool for my assignment. Say it with me. Say, my success is a tool for my assignment. The servant accepted his assignment and the assignments that God has given to us. And he's called us to be involved in gospel work and spreading this gospel to our community and the world. It requires success. We can't feel bad about desiring success. We can't, you know, Jesus, we looked at that parable a couple of weeks ago, but Jesus in the parable of the five talents, the two talents, and the one talent, the one who had five and made five more, the one who had two and made two more, the master commended him. The one who took his one and buried it, he was rebuked. And so God wants us to succeed. He desires for us to succeed. We see that. And it's in the acceptance of our assignment where we begin to find this good success. 3 John chapter 2, the Apostle John, he said, to make it very clear that God wants us to have success. He said, "Beloved, I pray in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." And so, yeah, we are to succeed, to success. We are to seek success in our soul. In other words, over the desires of the flesh, yes, God wants us to have success. In our minds, having success over anxiety and depression, that's success. Having physical success, health, energy in our bodies, success over principalities and powers who have been defeated and we're seated in heavenly places. And so he wants us to have success walking in authority over them and in the area of finances. Amen? Success. And so the servant, number one, he accepted his assignment. He saw that success, and we see that success is a tool for God's purposes. Secondly, we see that the servant became active in his assignment. Number two, the servant was active in his assignment. You can put up number two. That's good. The servant was active in his assignment. We saw that already, but we saw that in verse 4. Abraham said, "Go to my own land and to my relatives. Get a wife for my son Isaac." And so the servant, he made his way to the city. Say, he made his way. In verse 11, nearing evening, at the time when women go out to draw water, he made his camels kneel by the well outside the city. You could say that, you know, the servant, he didn't know everything that he was about to do in his assignment, but he did what he knew to do. He did what he knew to do. And so you could, you know, in other words, the servant, he went to the well. He knew what his assignment was, find a wife. But the servant went to the well because that's where the women were. I mean, you know, he's there to look for a wife. And so he did what he knew to do. He went to the well because the women were at the well. Does that mean he didn't need God? Of course he needed God. He needed God to direct him at the well, to give him favor at the well, to show him who was the woman at the... I mean, he still needed God. He needed God's favor, but he went to the well. In other words, he did what he knew to do. He received his assignment. And then he went to the well. You know, what hinders us sometimes our lives today is we know the promises of God. We know that God wants to bless me, wants to prosper me, wants to help me in this area. But then what can hinder us is we're believing for the promise, but we don't go to the well. In other words, we say, "Well, I'm waiting on God. I'm just waiting on him to fulfill the promise in my life." But we use waiting as an excuse just to do nothing. In other words, I'm waiting for him to make it happen. But what we learn from the servant is he went to the well depending on God to bring it to pass. He went to the well. And so waiting on God, we learn from the scriptures, is not doing nothing and just waiting for God to make it happen. No, it's waiting as a dependency. I'm going to the well. I'm trusting you, God, that when I get to the well, the woman will be there. But I'm depending on you. Waiting is a dependency as I go to the well. What are wells in our lives? The well in our life. Well, you know, I'm believing you, God, for you to use me in ministry. So I'm just going to wait for you to, you know, just wait for you to push me out and get me going. No, well, the well in our lives specifically, that could be, you know, I'm just going to get involved wherever there's a need in the church. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to get involved ushering, greeting, and I'm going to trust that, God, you're going to use me instead of just, now, just wait. God, I know you got plans in my future, and I'm just going to, no, he says, go to the well. God, I want you to use me in healing ministry. Well, what's the well? Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. No, I'm just waiting for the sick to be healed. No, go to the well. Lay hands on the sick. Yeah? I'm believing you, God, for a spouse. Go to the well. What does the scripture say? He who looks for a spouse finds a spouse, finds a good thing, right? Look, go to the well. Oh, come on now. No, I'm just trusting God. I'm just waiting on him. I'm just waiting, waiting, waiting. Well, wait in dependency. Yes, we must have his direction and wisdom. Absolutely. But go to the well in dependency that he'll make it happen. Look for a spouse. Don't have this attitude, well, I can never. There's no good people out there, no good men, no good women, no one out there anymore. I can never find anybody. Why would they want me? Or why would they want me? No, go to the well. Yeah? I'm believing you to prosper me, promote me in my workplace, prosper me in my business. Go to the well. You know, Paul told Timothy when Paul was talking to Timothy about, you know, his ministry. He was a pastor, and for him, that was his area of occupation. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved so that your progress might be seen by all. In other words, study. No, but God, I'm just trusting you to expand things. I'm just trusting you. Timothy could have said, but God, I'm just trusting you to do it all. I'm just trusting you. I'm waiting on you. No, Paul said, study. Go to the well. Yeah? I'm trusting you, God, in my business. Go. What's the well? You think about in our lives today, what's the well? It's not inactivity. The servant, he did what he knew to do. Say, he did what he knew to do. And each of us in the areas of life, we know in part what we can do. And so God says, do what you can do. Do what you know to do. Trusting him, believing him that he's going to make it happen. I'm believing for a friend. Well, the scripture says, show yourself friendly. Yeah? Well, I'm just waiting for God to bring the friend into my life. Yeah? I'm just going to sit and wait. I'm going to be grumpy. I'm going to look sour at it because then I know that when the friend comes, then I know it's going to be true. No, God says, show yourself friendly. You might meet someone who will betray you. Sure, that might happen. But keep depending on him. Wait on him inwardly, yes. But go to the well. Show yourself friendly. Join a small group. Get involved. Get to know people. Get to know people at work. Show yourself friendly. Can I hear an amen? Go to the well. Say, he went to the well. Secondly, and this is important, he went to the well depending on God. Going to the well doesn't mean we stop depending on God. Yeah, verse 40, we know he was in dependence on God. It says, and this is Abraham speaking, but it speaks of this trust of the covenant. And I believe the servant took the same attitude. Verse 40, it says, go ahead and put up verse 40. The Lord in whom, whose presence I've always walked will send his angel with you and make your journey successful. And so you'll get a wife from my son, from my own family and from my father's house. Yeah? So he's trusting. God's with me. He's depending on him that his favor's with him as he goes to the well. So, you know, sometimes when we get people, you know, we go to the well. Okay, now I'm going to start doing something. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to trust God. We can go to the other ditch and start just going into self-reliance. I'm going to make it happen. Instead of trusting Christ, a Christ dependence, resting in his finished work, resting in the Spirit within, we can go to the other ditch and just start trusting ourselves. That'll lead to burnout. That leads to, you know, discouragement. But a Christ reliance, when I'm relying and depending on him, it gives strength in the assignment. Yeah? Paul said, I labor more abundantly than you all, but not I, the grace of God in us. And so the servant went to the well depending on God's grace, depending on him. And then thirdly, we see that the servant went to the well with a humble attitude about God's leading. I mean, no, the Lord will involve himself. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. The gifts of the Spirit. He'll direct us, speak words of wisdom. But there's an attitude of humility that I pick up in Abraham, and I pick up in that of the servant when it came to God's directing in the affair or a situation that they were involved in. And I pick this up, read it in verse 41, where it says in Genesis 24. Notice what it says. I made a capital letter so you pick up on what I'm emphasizing on. If you go to my family and they refuse you, then too you'll be free from my oath. Verse 43, when I stand here at the spring, this is the servant talking now, so he picks up the same attitude of Abraham. When I stand here at the spring, if I say to a young woman who comes out to draw water, please give me a little water from your jug. And verse 44, and she answers, drink, and I will draw from your camels too. Then she is the woman whom the Lord has decided upon for my master's son. Notice the language. Abraham said it. If this happens, then. The servant said, if and then. You see, in other words, you know, Abraham, the servant, overall, they understood God's with us. His favor is directing us. I know that God is going to provide. And I may know here this morning, we have a covenant with God. We have promises from God, and we can stand on them and know that he will fulfill. Can I hear an amen? But notice when it came to the specific, who's the woman? Where's that woman going to be? They had an attitude of humility. And I think that relates to our lives today. God speaks to us. And if we're going to be directed by and led by the Spirit, we need to learn to hear his voice. And we can. The scripture says we are his sheep. He is our shepherd. And we know his voice. And we can hear from him. We can be led by the Spirit. Words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And yet, there must be an attitude of humility. Because when it comes to interpreting the specifics of it, we have to recognize our own humanity. That, you know what? I can miss it. You know, sometimes I hear people talk and they'll say, you know, God told me such and such, that on this date, on this time, this is going to happen. And there's a very assuredness of that. And then sometimes maybe that doesn't happen. And the person becomes discouraged. They might even get angry. They get embarrassed. They might get angry at God. And they'll stop listening, but they'll think, oh, it doesn't work. But what we learn from this passage, and we learn from the Apostle Paul, and I'll share that in a moment, we learn that, yes, we must be directed by the Lord and listen to his voice, the gifts of the Spirit. But with an attitude of humility, that yes, I know your favor is with me. Now, as I interpret the word that you're speaking to me, maybe I'll misinterpret it to a degree. I'm not taking away from God's favor. If we take the story, God was there, he would provide. He'd provide the wife. But would it be this woman or that woman or that woman? We can get in trouble. You hear people, I don't hear it here so much, but you hear, you know, someone gets, you know, they're listening to the Lord, and that's a good thing. We need more of that. We need more gifts of the Spirit. But then listen to say, oh, God's directing me. I'm going to marry so-and-so. I'm going to marry this woman here on the front. Not you, Johanna. I'm married, happily married, but not, you know, I'm going to marry this lady here in the front. I mean, no, God wants that individual to have a spouse, but is it that lady? Well, I have an attitude, you know, and have, like this servant said, if this is God speaking in this direction, then this will happen. In other words, it's an attitude, you know what? Maybe I don't hear it exactly right. I know God's overarching plan. I know that he's with me. I know that he loves me. As it relates to whether I marry this lady, not you, Johanna, I'm married to this lady, but anyhow. But, you know, or that, or take business. You know, God's going to, you know, it's God directs. How many know God works in business? I'm thankful for Marketplace next Saturday. And God works with business people. Thank God. And he'll give you creative ideas and direction. And we need more of that. Amen. But as it relates, well, you know, I'm timing the market. And God showed me that on this date at this hour, the market's going to crash. I'm putting all my stocks. I'm putting all my options in. I'm putting all my, yeah, on that specific time. And that's, God can direct that way. But let's always have this attitude, you know, I believe God's directing that way. If it isn't, maybe I misheard God, but I know ultimately he wants to prosper me in finances. How many know? Or he wants to give me a spouse. He wants to bless me. But at the end of the, but I'm saying, you know, if I misheard it just to a degree, it's okay. I know God's still directing me. Amen. This will keep us being able to hear from the Spirit long into our lives because we recognize, you know, we, how many know God? And there's a beauty in this is the truth that we see is that God works through it works through human flesh. How many are grateful for that? He works through imperfect vessels, you and I. He works through us. He works through people. We don't always hear it perfectly. But it doesn't change the fact that God directs and he leads. And so the servant went in his assignment. He went with a humble attitude. And we see that with Paul. There were times when he was going forward, full steam ahead. He was going to Bithynia at one point. And then the Holy Spirit said, stop. I don't want you to go there. I want you to go to Macedonia. How many know that story? In other words, Paul, he thought the Lord was directing him there, but he was humble enough to say, okay, maybe I missed it there. I'm going to go here. And so we live our lives that way. Yes, God has given us an assignment. Yes, he wants us to succeed. When it comes to the specific, we have a humble attitude. Amen? The servant had a humble attitude. And then number three, the servant kept alert in his assignment. We're talking about good success. The servant accepted his assignment. If we don't accept, you know, God doesn't force these assignments. He doesn't force his plans on our lives. The servant accepted the assignment. Number two, the servant became active in his assignment. And number three, the servant kept alert in his assignment. He kept alert. Verse 12, and I'm picking up this in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 12, and you'll see how I jump from verse 12 to 42. And the reason is the story was told twice in the chapter. I relayed one already. For sake of time, I didn't read all the chapter. But the story is told twice, and so I'm going to tell the story from going back and forth. But this part here about being alert in his assignment, let's go to verse 12, where it says, then he said, Lord God of my master Abraham, let it turn out favorably or successful for me today. So he's praying for success. Verse 42, when I came to the spring today, I said, Lord God of my master Abraham, please make me prosperous on the journey that I am on. And I had scarcely finished saying or praying this to him, when he had scarcely finished praying or saying this to himself, then Rebekah came out with a jug on her shoulder. And in verse 17, and the servant, he ran toward her and said, please give me a sip of water from your jug. And in verse 21, then the man watched her the whole time. It sounds kind of creepy. I know that on the surface level here. But anyhow, it's what happened. And the man watched her the whole time, silently waiting to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. In other words, he was alert. He had accepted his assignment. He's active in his assignment, but he's remaining alert. I mean, it's one thing to be present. I'm there physically, but it's another to be alert when I'm there, active, alert. How many wives know that? It's one thing for your husband, and I'm putting myself in the hot seat here. It's one thing to be present. It's another to be, anyhow, never mind. Yeah. Are you listening? No, not you. I'm talking about the spouse. I know you. How many know? Yes, dear, I hear you. Yes, dear, but it's another to be alert. Then here we see the servant. He was alert. He was alert, and we saw that he kept alert as he prayed, and he had this attitude, God, I know you want me to have success, and he's praying, let me have success. Paul taught this way, Colossians chapter 4, he said, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert. Say, stay alert. In other words, we see that as I've accepted my assignment, I'm active in it, and then the function of prayer helps us to keep alert, to see what God is doing. The servant, the Rebekah came, so he keeps watching. He's staying alert. And as he's doing that, he's saying, God, give me success. He's leaning in. He's depending on God. Give me success today. Make my walk successful. Help me to see the person this lady Rebekah. Help me to find success. He's leaning in. Sometimes we reverse the order. We pray and do nothing. And then the assignment's left. We're not active. We're just praying. But when we get it in the right order, I accept my assignment. I get active in my assignment. Then I lean into prayer to keep me alert so I can see what God's doing in that present moment. He stays alert. And Paul teaches on the importance of being alert. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, there's this powerful scripture that he teaches, Galatians 6, 9. He says, let us not become weary in doing good. How many know it's possible to grow weary in doing good and following after the Lord? It's possible to become weary. He says, don't become weary, for at the proper time, the word there is kairos, I'll get to that in a second, we'll reap a harvest. That's success, finding success, if we don't give up. He says, you know, stay alert. The word kairos, it means opportune time, right time, favorable moment. God will bring favorable moments. He'll bring these opportune times. He'll bring these into our lives whereby we find success. Paul says, don't grow weary. Don't give up. God is a God of kairos. He's a God of opportune time. He's a God of right time, favorable moments. And he uses this word, how God will bring these kairos moments into our lives for our success. And it's interesting that he uses this word kairos when he writes the scripture, because the Greeks had two words for time. One was chronos, and it speaks to the quantity of time. The other was kairos, it spoke to quality. How many know there's a difference between quantity and quality? Yeah? Quantity, that's 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes, 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in a minute. That's quantity. And how many know sometimes quantity of time, you know, it can bring about some disappointments. It can bring about things that we don't always desire. Kairos, on the other hand, speaks of quality of time. It's not the quantity, the quality. It speaks of, you know, this attribute of opportunity. And Paul chose the word kairos. Now, the Greeks, they had gods for each of these names. They represented a Greek god. And I'm not preaching Greek gods. I'm simply saying the context in which Paul wrote this scripture. And that word, that god of chronos, that god of time. You have a picture of it. Go ahead, put it up on screen, please. That was a god who ate his own children. Grotesque. And this is how the Greeks saw time. 24 hours in a day, 60 seconds in a minute. In other words, time is going to eat your dreams alive. Yeah? Time is going to take the dreams of your youth. It's going to take the energy of your youth, your youthful joy. It's going to eat it up and spit it out. The Greeks believed that Chronos ate his own children. Yeah? And sometimes when we think of life, we can think of the disappointments that keep piling up in life. And it can have a tendency if we don't, and as Paul said, don't grow weary because in a due season. But he acknowledges that Chronos, time, can a way of wearing us down. Give up on the dream. Stop seeing success. The servant kept alert as he said, God, give me success. Help me to find success. On the other hand, Kairos, the Greek god of Kairos. They had a picture of Kairos. Go ahead and put it up. They saw Kairos as this god that you can see a lady there. I'll explain in a second. That had to be grabbed. But you can see the wings on his feet. You can see he's got a funny hair pattern. He's got hair in the front, no hair in the back. He's got wings, and it's a picture of moving forward. And I'll explain the lady in a moment. Keep that picture up there. But on this god, the Greeks had an inscription. And it speaks to the importance of being alert, being aware of what God's doing, being conscious like David was of God with us that brings success. The inscription at the bottom of this Kairos god, it read, who are you? I am Kairos. Why are you on your tippy toes? Because I run fast, he said. Why do you have wings on your feet? Because I come fast, I catch the wind. And when I come by, you can hardly see me. Why is your hair so long in the front? Because when you see me coming, you'll have a chance to reach out and to grab me. Why is there no hair on the back of your head? Because when I pass you by, you can't catch me. What is your name? My name is Opportunity. And this is the word that Paul used in Galatians 6:9. He said, don't become weary because God is bringing opportunity. He's bringing right time. He's bringing favorable moments. But he uses this word to indicate the necessity of being aware in those moments when they come so that we can reach out, grab it, and go forward with God is doing. And that's why Paul encouraged. He said, keep this attitude. Keep alert. Keep in prayer. Keep in prayer with, you know, it's okay to pray, God, give me success. Because it keeps our eyes open. You see, the disappointments, they cause us to stop looking. I stop looking for a spouse. I stop looking for success in business. I stop looking because of the disappointments. But when I begin to see God's the God of Kairos, he's the God of opportunity. And I know he's bringing this opportunity. That's who he is. And he'll reverse the wrongs in my life. All that Chronos has stolen, he can bring back the joy. He can bring back the youthful exuberance. He can bring it back. Opportune moments, opportune times. All that God asks is, stay alert. Stay active. Stay conscious that God is with you. He's imminent. He's never leave us or forsake us. He's actively involved in the affairs of our lives. He wants to be involved. He says, accept the assignment. Don't say no to the assignment. Accept the assignment. Get active. But then as we're active, yes, he acknowledges disappointments will come. Maybe you've experienced a disappointment in your life. And it causes, instead of leaning, you know, when disappointment comes, often what happens to us is instead of leaning into what God has promised for us, staying alert. In other words, I'm waiting. I want to be alert when that blessing comes. I want to be aware. We just kind of become dull. We're not looking anymore. I don't have that edge. I'm not leaning into it. And so Paul's saying, don't go weary. God's the God of opportunity. He's a Kairos God. Amen. He's the God who brings, you know, in the wilderness seasons, he brings pools of water. When it seems like there's no way forward, it seems like there's no hope. People deal with hopelessness. They deal with, you know, in situations, God says he brings light to show that there's future. There's a future in your future. You have a future. Amen? He brings, he's a God of opportunity. And so he asks us to stay alert in these moments and in these seasons so that we can reach out and grab it. Paul had this attitude, Philippians 3. He said, I press on. Say, press on. To take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and straining forward that which is ahead. In other words, he says, I don't have this backward thinking. I have this forward thinking. I mean, Paul faced a lot of disappointments in life, betrayals and people turning their backs on him, but he said, I'm forgetting, I'm pressing forward. Remember, put up that picture again of Kairos, how that Greek, the way the Greeks pictured Kairos, those right moments. Notice how the lady, she was reaching out and grabbing it. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He brings an awareness. He brings an alertness to be able to see what God is doing in our lives. Not just present, but alertly present to see, oh, God, you're directing me that way. So that when the spouse comes we're believing for, we see and we're ready for it. So when the job comes, the opportunity comes, or the word from knowledge comes, I'm leaning in, I'm listening, I'm ready for it. How many know? Amen? He's alert. Number one, the servant was, he accepted his assignment. Number two, he got active in his assignment. And God's speaking to us here today, saying, you know, get active, get involved. That's where it makes us safe to be a success. And in the assignment, yes, there'll be discouragements. Yes, he didn't say everything will go perfectly. There wouldn't be any roadblock. But remain alert, remain present, remain aware that God is actively involved. And so we see, lastly, prayer for success. The servant prayed for success. We can't feel ashamed. Oh, I can't pray for success. Will God really want me to be a success? You need to be a success to do what God's called you to do, the assignments that he has called you to do. You need to be, look at your neighbor and say, you need success. We need success. So we can pray for success. The servant prayed for success. John, we read it already in 3 John 2. He said, I pray above all things that you prosper, that you are a success, just as your soul prospers. John had spent much of, he wrote this at the end of his life. He had spent most of his, you know, most of, he had spent much of his time with Jesus, and he writes this near the end of his life. And you know, when you're near the end of the life, I believe you write what's important to you. You know, everything, all the fluff has been diluted, and you come down to what's really important. And so John, who had spent his whole life with Jesus, he knew what Jesus was about. He writes, I pray that you prosper in all things, health, bodies, just as your soul prospers. Amen? God wants you to find success. Success in the assignment. Success, he says, stay alert. Amen? And let it be said of us, God was with, look at your neighbor and say, you. And they were a success. Amen? Let's give the Lord a big hand clap of appreciation here this morning. Well, God's good. Why don't we stand together? Please don't running around. I've given time. We have three prayers we want to pray this morning. Can we stand all across this room? Father, we thank you. We're going to pray this morning for success. Because when we see that success is so necessary in our lives, we can pray. We can have boldness to pray, God, give me success in that area. We're going to pray for that in just a moment of time. But you know, we can't talk about success without recognizing, and I've talked about it this morning, how success is in material areas of life, and in finance, and in health. But I cannot go any further. I can't go too far without acknowledging a very real reality. And that is that all the success in life, and God wants us to succeed. How many know that? We've preached that this morning. God wants us to be a success. But all the success in life pale in comparison to where success starts. And success, the foundation for all success, starts in a spiritual rebirth. In fact, I would put it this way, that Jesus was speaking to a man in his earthly ministry, and Jesus spoke to this man who was a success in every area of his life, that we know about at least. He was a success in his career, and he was a success in the religious pursuits that he had of his day. His name was Nicodemus. And so in that sense, he was successful. So if success in material areas was all that this was about, then you think this man, he's set. Everything's good. But he came to Jesus and he said, yes, I'm a success in my career. I'm a success in my religious pursuits. But when he came to Jesus, he said, he acknowledged that there was something still lacking. Something was still missing. And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. It speaks of new spiritual rebirth. And the truth is, all the success we find in life, when I'm talking about material blessings, they're good. God wants us to have them. But they don't supplement or take the place of this foundation of spiritual rebirth. And this man came to Jesus and said, there's something missing. And it speaks of this nature of mankind's problem. You know, from the very beginning, mankind, God created us. He is love, and he created us to be connected to his love. And Adam and Eve, the scripture says that they were in perfect fellowship with his love, but they turned their back on him. They said, we can do it without that love. And the scripture says that it calls that sin. Sin means to miss the mark, to aim in a different direction. And Adam and Eve did that, and they disconnected themselves from the very nature of what they were created for. You know, you and I were created for love. And Adam and Eve, they separated themselves. And so mankind, ever since, we've born in this disconnected from love. And so until we're reborn spiritually, we're not able to be aware of that love, be reconnected to that love. And it's like there's something missing. And so Jesus said to this man, you must be born again. And maybe you're here this morning. You say, I'm a success in life. I have succeeded in business. I've succeeded in, you know, I seem like I've done pretty good in my religious pursuits. But you say there's still an emptiness. There's still a void. And that speaks to the reality that without this rebirth in Christ, they will never truly find that which our heart is looking for. The good news is that Jesus came. That's why Jesus came, that we might be forgiven of our sin and that we might be reborn. And he offers that here this morning. And the way I'd practically describe it is, you know, that moment of rebirth. It's like when a miracle happens in our hearts. It's when the darkness begins to go and light begins to come in. It's when hatred and evil begin to go and healing and hope begin to come in. It's like this moment in time when eternity connects with the human heart. And I believe we're in one of those moments right now when God's love is reaching out to you, calling you today, saying, would you receive that love? So with heads bowed and eyes closed all across this room, in a moment I'm going to pray. I'm going to give the opportunity of receiving Christ's love, of receiving forgiveness of sins and being reborn spiritually, allowing that miracle to happen in your heart. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I believe God's love is calling to you today. You heard testimonies earlier of individuals from Iran who had said, you know, they found peace with God. They found this love that was missing, lacking in their lives. That void was filled as they experienced Jesus Christ. With heads bowed all across this room, God's love is calling you today. I'm going to ask you, just so I know who I'm praying with, all those who say, yes, Nathan, include me when you pray. I'm ready to receive Christ's life, receive forgiveness of sins, know that my sins are forgiven, receive peace with God. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to count to three. Just raise your hand at the count of three so I know who I'm praying with. One, two, three. Hands going up all across this room. Yes, I see you there. Anybody? Hands going up across this room. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Just take another moment right now. Thank you, Father. Hands going up there. Yes, yes, sir, I see you. Yes, I see you back there. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Father, we thank you now. Anybody else? You say, I'm ready. Yes, include me when you pray. I'm ready to receive in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. You can take your hands down right now. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to pray with you. Those of you who raise your hand, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you say, I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to enter into Christ's life. I'm ready to receive that love, forgiveness of sins, to know peace with God. I'd like to meet you down here at the front, just to shake your hand so I know who I'm praying with so we can pray together. You, sir, those of you who raised your hand, would you join me right now? Let's give them a big hand clap as they come. Would you do that right now, Celebration Church? All those who raised their hands. Father, I thank you. Prayer team, would you come right now? Father, brother, those who...
For more information about Toronto Celebration Church, please visit our website at TICC.ca.